When you choose to believe that God has this plan and that He's going to make it come to pass if you'll just cooperate with Him, then you and God are in a partnership. You and God walking together.
I know my God has made the way for me. I know my God has made the way for me.
Everything in the world was made to demonstrate God's never-changing, never-ending love for you. Join Kelly Copeland Swisher today as she reveals from Scripture the love the Father has for you on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello and welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kelly Copeland Swisher, and my parents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, have asked me to fill in this week for them, and I'm so thrilled to be able to bring the Word to you. We started yesterday talking about our Father who loves us, has created a good plan for us. We looked over in Ephesians 2:10. When we were born again, in the Amplified, it tells us when we're born again, we're born anew into those good works that He prearranged and He predestined for us. And He even laid out the paths for us to get there. And it says that we should live the good life. And that word good, that has a meaning like, I'm not sure you've really thought about what God means when He says good. You and I might mean one thing, but when God says good, it means something a whole world away. Or a whole world of difference between what we believe. So we're going to talk about that today. And I want to pick up with where we left off yesterday. We talked about Psalm 139 and how much the Father loves us. It said He created every moment, laid out every day for us. And so we talked there, and then we went to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So let's start there today. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You're going to lead us into some great things, Lord, and open our eyes. Open our eyes, Father, to how much You love us. Open our eyes to the grand plan that You have for us today. In Jesus' name, you agree with that? Then say amen. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Let's start with verse 9. It says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." Now, many people stop reading that. You've probably all heard that scripture, but a lot of people stop right there and think, well, that's just too far away for me. That's just too hidden for me. Of course, the verses above it talk about the hidden plan, the mystery of God. But you know what? Things have changed since no eye has seen, no ear has heard. We're hearing, we're seeing what God has for us. You think, well, how can we do that? Or how can we know that God wants us to see or do that? Well, let's keep reading. It says, "But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets." What secrets? What does it mean they're secrets? Well, back up. Those things that nobody knows that God has prepared for those who love Him. Do you love the Lord? Do you love your Father today? Then you qualify to know those secrets from the Holy Spirit. You know, every time I read this verse, I think about, it makes me think about Christmas. And it makes me think about, you know, when mom or dad buy presents and they hide them somewhere, they wrap them and hide them, or they have a closet. I always had a gift closet where I would hide birthday presents or hide Christmas presents. And you know, when the kids were young especially, they would want to sneak in there and find out what mother had bought or what, you know, what they were going to get for Christmas. And so that was always so funny when they were little. If they found out what you had bought for one of the other kids, oh, they could just hardly stand it. They had to tell. "You're going to love what mom gave you." One time, one of the kids said to me, I had the present in my lap. I'm about to open it. "You're going to love your robe." Like, thank you. Here goes that surprise. But that's the way the Holy Spirit is. He's digging in that closet. He's digging in that mind of God, mind of the Father. You know, Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are one. So they're on the same page. They know what the plan is for you. And the Holy Spirit is searching out those things and showing you God's deep secrets for you. Though that wonderful plan that He has designed for you, the Holy Spirit will reveal it. And it says here, who can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit? I just told you they're one and the same. And we've received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, but we have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. Isn't that good news? If anybody ever tells you, well, God doesn't have a plan for you, that's just something made up. Say, no, it's here in the Bible, and I have chosen. We talked yesterday about you have to choose to believe. God's plan is so big, you really have to choose to believe it before you even know what it is. Because if you don't make that choice before knowing what it is, He can even show you the plan, and you may go, oh, how could I do that? But when you choose to believe that God has this plan and that He's going to make it come to pass if you'll just cooperate with Him, then you and God are in a partnership. You and God walking together. God, your Father. I told you yesterday I wanted you to come out of this week knowing my Father loves me. I've got a daddy who made a plan for me out of His love. And so right here it says we can know the wonderful things. He didn't plan bad things for you. He planned good things for you. Good, there's that word again. Ephesians 2:10 says those good works. It says living that good life. So I want to show you today what that means. You know, if you look over in Genesis, and we're not going to read all of Genesis or even all of the creation, because you know the story. But as God was creating, you have to realize, as He was creating the heavens and the earth and the birds and the fish and the animals, He was creating all of this before He put His man, His people in there. He created this garden. And you know, before He made Adam and Eve and before He went to, or before He made them in His image, He had to get this garden, this planet, this Garden of Eden just right for them. And so He double-checked Himself. After He would create, He created the light and He saw that it was good. He separated separated light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness and night, and the darkness night, and the evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. That even that first day, He's checking Himself. He's seeing, okay, this is good. And then He creates the second day. And He's watching over things, and He's creating the sky and the waters. But you notice that every few days, He double checks it, and He sees that it's good. It says here in verse 12, He talks about the vegetation and seed-bearing fruit. Seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening passed and morning came, marking the third day. And then in verse 18, it says, God saw that it was good. And then in verse 21, it says, and God saw that it was good. And then in verse 25, and God saw that it was good. You know, I've never seen Him in the Word of God look back over His what He creates or what He does to make sure that it's good. But I know how He feels. And I bet you've been in a similar circumstance. If you think about it, you know what it feels like, too, to look back over what you've done and check it out to make sure that it was good. And always the sense in that is it good enough? Now, we're talking to God the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth, checking up on Himself to see if it's good enough. You know, know, you want to think, well, anything he does is going to be good enough for me. But that's not the way he looks at it. I think back to the things that I've done for the kids. And when they graduated from high school, each one, of course, Emily's just a baby, so I've got a long time to plan her graduation party. Jesus will come back before then. But I'm telling you, those graduation parties were a big deal. And I put thought into them and thought about, what is their personality? You know, what was Rachel's personality? Lindsay, Jenny, what is the theme of this party going to be? And what food am I going to serve? And the tables have got to look perfect. And it's got to, you know, not just be cookie cutter, but it's got to really speak to that daughter or the son that's graduating. It's got to be perfect for them. And so I remember, especially on the girls' banquet, I mean, Max had more of a barbecue, so it wasn't quite the banquet that the girls had, but I think he liked it better than the frilly banquet. But as we were doing the tables and I'm setting up this luncheon for the girls, I'm up at my mother's house, and I'm up in the 2 o'clock in the morning finishing up tables and making sure everything's perfect. And I remember each time looking around, looking at the graduate table that was set with beautiful things in the center that really represented whichever girl was graduating. And I remember looking at it and going, this is good. Rachel's going to love this, or Lindsay's going to love this. Jenny's going to love this. Looking at it, and that feeling of, I just want them to come in and go, oh, I love this. I'm so blessed that my mom did this for me. When God the Father looked out over the creation, and he said, it was good. He checked it, and he looked, and he saw, this is good. That was his heart in that, is this has got to just blast them out of the water. This has got to make them know how much I love them. We can see in creation that God loves us. I think it's important if you're going to talk about God designing a life for you and you're going to wonder what kind of life he would design or what kind of designer is he, it's important to look at the first things that he designed. When we look at creation and we see that his design, the word he used was good, but to me it was better than good. To me, that word in our vernacular is not big enough to express how good it was. Because I think about, you know, let's just talk about the ocean for a minute and the creatures that he designed. You know, they're still discovering fish that they've never seen before. They are discovering that way out deep, deep, deep in the oceans, there are colors of fish that they didn't even know existed. Why would he put different fish? Why make different fish? What's the purpose in that? You know, couldn't have been for Adam and Eve, I don't think. I mean, they weren't going scuba diving, or, you know, I never read in there where Jesus went way out to the deep and went scuba diving. He may have. I don't think Peter did. But I don't know. Jesus may have been wanting to look at the colors of fish. I've been actually diving in that region where Jesus walked in Israel and in the Red Sea. And it's pretty phenomenal. The colors of the fish are so vibrant and bright. And it just gives you joy to look at them. But think about that. God puts these fish way out in the deep just in case one day one of his children is out there, they'll see something they've never seen before and just surprise them all over again. What about the animals? You know, God didn't have to create so many different kinds of animals. What was the purpose in that? What was the purpose in so many different kinds of dogs? What was his purpose in creating a cat in the first place? I don't know. I am not a cat person. If you are, God bless you. But he didn't make them for me, but obviously he made them for you. You know, he made the different kinds of dogs. Little boy wants a big old dog to wrestle around with, and the little girl wants one she can carry around in her purse. There's different creatures for different people, Cats made for people who might like that. I don't know. I bless you, but he didn't. He knew that you would like them, and so he made them. Horses of all kinds, animals. You know, again, too many animals even for us to enjoy. But he made them for you and I because he loved us. What about flowers? You know, I've asked people, I've never gotten an answer that I was satisfied in asking people this, but can you give me a practical reason for a flower? Outside of the love of God, there's not a practical reason for a flower. You know, everything could have been all one color. Everything could have been monochromatic. You may say, well, some flowers are good for medicines or good for your health. Yeah, but they didn't have to be pretty. It didn't have to put a smile on your face. He did that. He made flowers because he loved us, because he knew one day there would be a guy in super duper trouble with his wife, and he would need something to be able to bring home and put a smile on her face. You don't think he knew that? You don't think he planned that we would look at a flower and just smile? He did all of that in that creation and the broad expanse of his creation, way more than Adam and Eve needed. No. When he was creating the heavens and the earth, he was creating for them, but he was creating for me and you. And he was creating more than we would ever need. And he was creating fun things for us. I mean, what about, I've had somebody tell me that flowers were to make honey. Okay, fine. Why honey? Why make something sweet? Because he loves you. Because he's our Father. Because his heart was that we would look around us and say, Lord, you love me. Isn't that your heart for your children? Isn't that what you want? Whether you have them today or not, you know that one day you're going to look at your children and go, I want them to have the best. And that is multiplicity times our Father has that heart for us. And when he says the word good, he means planned beyond our expectation, beyond what we could ever dream of, imagine. You know, there's a story, I think Joel Osteen put a version of this story in his book, but I've heard this story for years about a rich sheik who was playing golf with an American. And they enjoyed their game of golf, and the American showed him some tricks to help his golf game. And the sheik really enjoyed it. And he said, I want to reward you for making this day so enjoyable to me. And the man said, well, you don't need to reward me. I don't need anything. And the sheik said, well, no, tell me what you want. And the guy thought about this driver that he had seen, and he thought, well, I'd like a golf club. And so the sheik says, okay. And he says, we'll make that happen for you. And the guy says, oh, good, I've really been wanting that golf club. So he goes home, and one day there's a knock on the door, and he goes to answer it. And it's a driver in a limousine. And so he said, I'm here to take you to get your golf club. And the guy goes, oh, good, I get to pick out what I want. So he gets in the car. He thinks, man, this is service. I could have just taken a mail order golf club, would have been great, but this is great service. So he goes with the driver, and he's thinking they're going to the golf store, but they pull up in front of a golf club. So to him, golf club is a golf club to hit with. But to the sheik, a golf club is a place where you play 18 holes. It's a place where you go to dinner. It's a place where you play tennis and swim and have fun. That's his idea of a golf club. That is just a small illustration of the difference between when we say good and what our idea of it is and when God says good. He created the heavens and the earth, and he looked at it and he said he saw that it was good. So when we read in Ephesians 2:10, let's go back and read that again. In the Amplified Bible, Ephesians 2:10 says to us, I love this scripture. 2:10. For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship. He created you. He put you together. Remember Psalm 139. He knitted you together. We are recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. Born anew for what? What are we born again for? What is the purpose in our being born again? When we get born again, we're born all over again into the plan. It says here, born anew, that we may do those good works. Now remember, God's idea of good, it's not just okay. It's not just, well, that'll work or that'll do. We're born again that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. Living, listen to this, living, say living. You may think, I don't really feel like I'm living. I just feel like I'm existing. If that's you today, you're not living the plan that He created for you. Because if you were, you would be able to look at it and go, this is good. If God says the plan He created for you is good, then we certainly ought to be able to look around and go, God, You're amazing. You love me so much. That's His heart for you. Living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. God loves you. He prearranged and made ready a life that has more abundance, more blessing, more new adventures for you. If you're not living that, it's easy enough to get back to what He designed for us. All we have to do is repent for doing things our own way and begin to do things His way. The Spirit is revealing. He's talking. He wants to talk to you about what God has planned for you. So just right now, say, Lord, I receive it. I'm just going to believe that You have a good plan for me and that good means good in Your eyes. And so I take it right now. I lay hold of it, and I take it for myself. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Relationships should be rich and rewarding, godly connections that spur us on to great things. All around us are strained or failed relationships, but with God, that doesn't have to be our story. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has put together two great resources in the Power of Love package. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's Relationship Lifeline Kit, your 10-day spiritual action plan for building relationships that last, and Kelly Copeland Swisher's teaching on Custom Fit for You, discovering God's unique plan for your life. Learn God's purpose for relationships and how to make them successful in the Relationship Lifeline Kit. This interactive study will equip and encourage you to improve every relationship. Use the lessons, scripture cards, and worship music to build your faith and transform your relationships. The Custom Fit for You teaching reveals God's unique plan for your life. It will inspire you to take off the limits and experience the joy that comes from living the life He designed just for you. Start your journey toward building relationships that last with the Power of Love package. Order the Power of Love package today for just $20 and enjoy a special savings of 30%. This package includes your 10-day spiritual action plan for building relationships that last by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and a CD by Kelly Copeland Swisher entitled Discovering God's Unique Plan for Your Life. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order online at kcm.org. You may call or write to us today. For these and other Kenneth Copeland Ministry resources, go to kcm.org.
I want to encourage you to order the Power of Love package. It's our 10-day spiritual action plan for building relationships that last. You've seen the other Lifeline kits, and this one is really a good one. And a CD from one of my teaching, Custom Fit for You, Discovering God's Unique Plan for Your Life. Don't you like the shoe, ladies? Custom fit, just like a shoe fit, just for you. He's made a plan for your life, as we're teaching this week. I want to pray for you. God and His plan are not far away from you. They are right there. His love, the plan He has for you, companionship with Him, partnership with Him, it's right there. So just bow your head with me. Father God, I thank You that You are right there with them, that Your love has never been far away from them, but You have kept them in Your heart. You have maneuvered them to the place where they can make a decision to follow You and to live the plan that You have for them. Lord, reveal Yourself to them. Show them how much You love them as they determine in their heart to walk with You and to walk out that plan. In Jesus' name, I thank You for miracles. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you need us, God is your partner, you know, but if you need us, we're your partners too. And our Partner Service Center is here to serve you. That's so important to my mom and dad, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. They wanted to have a place where you could call and get your needs met. If you have a need for prayer, call us. We've got anointed prayer ministers just waiting to pray the Word of God with you in a prayer of faith. So call us. We also have offices around the world where they can help you and help get your needs met. You can look online and check their hours of operation. Our Southwest Believers Convention starts Monday, July the 4th through the 9th. That's where you'll get some answers too. You'll get in the Word and the Lord will show you things. That's here in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about this meeting or others, just go to kcm.org. Listen, I'm going to see you tomorrow. Please, please don't abandon me now. Join me and we're going to dig into this some more and find out what God has for you. This is Kelly Copeland Swisher reminding you today that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a copy of today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. Come to these exciting meetings. The Southwest Believers Convention will be held the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas, with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests. Join Kenneth Copeland for the Venezuela Victory Campaign in Maracaibo, Estado de Zulia, Venezuela, August 26th and 27th. Live at East Coast Faith Conference with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher, September 16th and 17th at the Meadowlands Exposition Center in Secaucus, New Jersey. Pastor Terry Pearson's will be at the Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference, September 28th through 30th, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Come to the 2011 Word Explosion with Kenneth Copeland, Bill Winston, and Chaplain A.L. Downing, October 13th through 15th in Columbia, South Carolina. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
If you ever get the understanding that God is your partner, your life will never, ever be the same.